Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
Now, you might recall that last week Thursday, we had the State of the Nation address where the president made several announcements and also key commitments, primarily when it comes to South Africa meeting its goals and objectives, specifically when it comes to the support that we need for our communities and societies at large. But what does this mean? How does it shift its way into the budget speech? And how do we need to also make sure that our budget this year might be prepared for a few more shifts, especially related to Donald Trump, his presidency, and recent trade announcements? To tell us more on this, we join on the line by Natasha Suplau, Senior Executive for Ethics, Standards and Public Sector at the South African Institute of Chartered Accountants. Natasha, such a pleasure to have you.
Good evening, and thank you for having me.
Thank you. Excited to have this conversation with you, because the truth is there's so many layers that we can definitely reveal in terms of these themes. But maybe let's just start off by getting your analysis of some of the recent announcement by President Donald Trump to cut particular funding from South Africa, which could jeopardize our trade relations.
Thank you so much. I think what we've seen coming through in the last week or so has really posed many questions, concerns to us, I think, both from a social perspective, but also from an economy perspective. And when we look at our dependency as a country on grants or foreign aid, we then encounter these challenges. I think firstly what I wanted to touch on was why is foreign aid so important for South Africa? And South Africa is currently a developing country. And in many developing countries, such as South Africa, foreign aid becomes important because firstly, a country that is developing doesn't have the resources to fund solely through its domestic means. So where they need critical development within the country, at the same time, they are looking at overcoming poverty and building a stronger economy, and then funding is not available domestically. So we then get foreign grants, and these foreign aids actually helps the country to improve the living standards for us from a South African perspective, but also to stimulate economic growth. So if we look at the U.S. grant that we were receiving, it actually impacted our health, healthcare specifically. Yeah. And how do we now overcome this through our budget, knowing that there was 17% of our budget for health care in terms of HIV/AIDS programs that is no longer there? How do we overcome this? Where do we get the funding? And I think these are some of the questions that will be asked, specifically to ensure that our society, the people that actually required these treatments, still continue to get these treatments without being negatively impacted.
Got you. Natasha, maybe if we can expand just on that 17% shortfall, right? There's often been a heightened level of criticism regarding the continent and South Africa's reliance on aid from international partners, more so the US. Are you able as well just to contextualize how long this has been running for, and perhaps the shift in the agreements that has taken place, if any, that have led to this tie?
Well, South Africa has, for many years now, been reliant on the grant. I think if you look at the PEPFAR program that has been coming through, it actually looks at providing medical services in terms of facilities, nursing to the vulnerable population in terms of HIV and AIDS. And this has helped to reduce some of the challenges that we would have experienced had we not received this aid. And I think if you look further into the infrastructure development, is that this was actually looking at clinics and infrastructure within South Africa. So at that, at a point in time where this funding is no longer there, like we see now, that infrastructure is no longer available as well. So it has been supporting us for a number of years now.
Let's talk about that $440 million that we typically have been receiving from PEPFAR. As you mentioned, now with that, essentially, the taps closed off, we need to make up for that shortfall. What alternatives do we have?
We faced this previously. So if we look at what we as a country have experienced in the past, we've experienced state capture, money was taken away from us or lost through unethical means, and that money was never still in the process of being recovered, and it took away potential service delivery. So that was one of the things that we've experienced, and we've seen these things happening due to poor implementation of controls, and you would note that the AG has continuously raised these concerns. There's also a lack of professionalization in the public sector. We look at accountability and consequence management. Are people being held accountable? And is this the time now to do that, given that we are at another stage in the country where funding has been cut? How do we start holding individuals accountable and recovering money that has not been used for its intended purposes within the country?
And you raise a very important point here, especially when it comes to governance. And that's typically been the frustration that the citizenry in South Africa has had, but even the Auditor General at large. Does this, I guess, then allow or create for an opportunity where we highlight further controls that need to be applied to adequately monitor the governance concerns here?
I think the governance concerns has been highlighted a lot over the years. If you follow every report made by the AG to Parliament, to the accounting officers, to management at the public sector institutions, in every report, the need for governance accountability has been raised. I think now it's the point where we need to look at actually the implementation and tracking thereof. Are we actually implementing the recommendations? Are we actually looking at the accountability that is taking place? Are we trying to get the right people from a professional perspective to ensure that controls are being implemented? So it's, I think highlighting has taken place. I think it's now time for us to actually see that what has been asked and raised through many platforms is actually being implemented. And Parliament standing committees are also asked to take accountability from this perspective as well.
Definitely. You're right. Beyond just highlighting it, it really does call for action. And even that action needs tighter controls, heightened skills from the workforce. And I guess, sterner approaches as well from regulators and in some places, incentives to be provided. But Natasha, we are in a very delicate position as a country. We just came out of the sauna last week, Thursday. We headed to the budget speech next week. The rug has literally been pulled up from underneath us. And now we have the shortfall with significant consequences for our socio-economic and healthcare environment. What does this mean for the budget speech and how National Treasury needs to potentially plug this gap?
I think they have been put in a difficult position. It just happened. And I'm sure they would have been preparing for the budget a long time. And a shock like this will have to help them balance both what is required by government as it stands now, as well as plugging that gap. So I think balancing this is important. On the one hand, we have individuals' lives being impacted. I think they did speak to potential loss of lives if there was a stop on these programs. And how do we now try to overcome this? So it is going to be a difficult task. But I think one of the things is, again, accountability. If we look at fruitless and wasteful expenditure that took place in the previous years, this is one area that potentially could be tightened, recovery of that funding, and through that process, that money can be reallocated. So for me, what I would think is stronger controls, harsher requirements in the recovery of funds. We've noted that the Auditor General, through their responsibilities of recovering money through the material irregularity process, they have managed to do that. But I think that this needs to continue. And if we do manage to recover the money that was wasted, then probably that can be used to cover, to cover this gap that exists currently.
Got you. Well, we certainly will be paying full attention to what the Finance Minister Enoch Godongwana does unpack on the 19th of February during the budget speech. It's a big shortfall to cover, $440 million that typically came through from the US funded PEPFAR, which would cover 17% of South Africa's HIV and AIDS program. Let's see how things go. Thank you so much for your time tonight, Natasha.
Thank you.
Thank you. That's Natasha Suplau, Senior Executive for Ethics, Standards and Public Sector at the South African Institute of Chartered Accountants.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.